Hey, this is Michael Bohm, Youth Apologetics Training. I'm sitting outside in my Carfus on a beautiful Colorado morning. It's blazing guns inside this car. I'm cooking. I'm just like, just smoking, cooking. And why am I telling you this? I tell things to my friends. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the Catholic Church and what they believe. We're going to keep going on this series. And again, I want to reiterate, I have nothing against Catholics. I love Catholics. I have lots of family that are Catholic and my wife as well. My problem is with what the Catholic Church is teaching. And I want to point out where the Catholic Church's teachings deviate from what the Bible says. And I want to do this lovingly. And if at any time I revert into any kind of mode that does not sound loving, I apologize right away, right up front. I want to teach you guys, A, what they believe. And if you're a Catholic and you're listening to me, I just want to show you as lovingly as I can. I am Michael Bohm, and I've got issues. But as much as I can, I want to show you where the Catholic Church's teachings deviate from what the Bible clearly says. So let's jump right in. Today, we're going to talk about where the Catholic Church gets its authority. Now, just to review, yesterday I said that the Protestant, if you will, I hate to even say that because, well, it brings up such animosity, but the mainstream Christian church, okay, we believe in what is called sola scriptura, which is saying that we believe in the authority of the scriptures alone, okay? The Catholic Church uses three different sources of authority. They have the Bible, they have tradition, and they have the words of the magisterium, mainly the popes. And of those three sources of authority, I'm going to cover two of the three because the Bible, of course, we do agree on that. Okay, so here's the difference, though. First of all, the Catholic Church does have their own versions of the Bible. I don't know if I'm going to catch all of them here, but I'm aware of a couple at least. There is the New Jerusalem Bible, of which I have a copy somewhere floating around in my house. And they also have the New American Version, which I also have a copy of. I believe there's a third, and I can't recall what it is. I will find out for you guys, and I'll mention it in one of the other podcasts in the series. Anyway, their Bibles do have some differences from what you would find, for example, in the King James Bible. The King James Bible uses a manuscript line known as the Textus Receptus, and there's about 5,600 or so manuscripts that we have, and for the most part, they all agree with each other. The New American Bible and the New Jerusalem Bible, those use, for their New Testament manuscripts, just a small group of manuscripts, and mainly they rely on this is a small group of manuscripts. There's about 50 of them, and they mainly rely on two manuscripts, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. And both of these, well, basically this small group of manuscripts, they all disagree with each other in major ways. But yeah, the Catholic Church is going to mainly rely on the Vaticanus because it's a manuscript that was found in the Vatican, which makes sense. There are some major differences, but I'm not going to get into that in this podcast. This is an introduction, so I just want to breeze by that. And I'm not going to get into the King James debate in this podcast either. I may never get into that debate. I may. Anyway, I'm already blabbing on about it. It's not worth fighting about, okay? I like the King James Bible. It's, in my opinion, by far, hands down, the best Bible in English, but that's for another time. Anyway, let's talk about this tradition of the church. And this is a pretty wide topic. I spent hours and hours and hours looking at Catholic websites about tradition and why they believe what they believe and why they put a lot of stock in tradition. And the more I looked, the more muddy the waters got, and the more difficult I realized it would be to try and do an introduction on the subject. I can see how I could easily do an entire series just on tradition alone. But here's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a book. I have the 1994 version, and it is a book of official Catholic doctrine, and it's official. It doesn't get any more official than this, okay? This is basically the final authority as far as books go that the Catholics use for their doctrine. This is the highest authority that they will refer to, okay? So when there is a disagreement on doctrine, this is where they go first. Anyway, the 1994 Catechism has this to say about tradition. It says, sacred tradition and sacred scripture, then, are bound closely together and communicate one with the other. And that's paragraph 80. But in paragraph 81, it says, the holy tradition transmits in its entirety the word of God, which has been entrusted to the apostles by Christ the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And then paragraph 82 says, as a result, the Roman Catholic Church does not derive her certainty about all revealed truths from the Holy Scriptures alone. Both Scripture and tradition must be accepted and honored with equal sentiments of devotion and reverence. Okay, so here you see it. Now you see that, yeah, they do have tradition being on the same plane as Scripture. Okay, and at this point, I start twitching because the first question that popped in my mind, see, we see very clearly from the scriptures that God inspired the Bible. Every single one of those human authors were writing the scriptures as inspired by the Holy Spirit, okay? And the scriptures, A, testify themselves, and B, they prove their Holy Spirit handwritten, God-breathed nature by prophecies that have come true and all kinds of other great evidences. Go ahead and see my series on the evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible. That is a series that is still in the making, and I will continue to add parts to it as I go. Hey, that's an airplane. Okay, I will continue to add to that series for a long time because it's so much fun just to add stuff here and there. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. See that series. The Bible testifies of itself. It proves itself, okay? Conversely, tradition doesn't, okay? And the question that keeps popping in my head is, how do we know a tradition is from God, and how do we know a tradition is not from God? So I'm going to dive into a whole list of scriptures that I threw together. This is by far not exhaustive, by far. There are so many scriptures on this subject that it started to make me twitch. Yeah, I'm into twitching. That's kind of my thing. But started making me twitch, and there's so much. Again, I could do a whole series on just this one subject, but my purpose is an introduction, not a series. So here we go. Blah, blah, blah. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I didn't have to add that, but I like it. I'm going to keep going. All scripture. I love this verse. Oh, memorize this verse, guys. 16 and 17. Memorize this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me say that in other words. All the scripture is inspired of God, and it will help you, teach you doctrine, reproof, correction, and it'll instruct you in righteousness, And get this. It will make the man of God perfect. Wait, perfect. Thoroughly furnished, okay? The New King James says thoroughly equipped. I kind of like that better. But anyway, thoroughly, let's try that. Thoroughly equipped unto all good works. Why do you need anything else? It's all there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished on all good works. I mean, that is enough to make a Presbyterian run the aisles. Okay? I just met a Presbyterian friend at work the other day. And if he hears this, hey, John. But anyway, I love the Presbyterians. Anyway, so 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, what do we got here? We have Paul dogging on man's wisdom and saying that, well, basically, we should be looking at what the Holy Ghost teaches. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:37 through 38 says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I guess I didn't need to add that 38, but anyway. What do we have here? We have Paul saying, look, I'm not writing you my own words. These are not my words. These are commandments of the Lord. Okay, again, we're seeing this theme here. This has nothing to do with tradition. This has nothing to do with oral tradition, passing on of different traditions. This is the Word of God. And I just want to point out, and I know Catholics don't believe this, but I think that there's kind of this unspoken theme that almost like, look, this is the official tradition. This is our official make-believe thing that we follow. And if we decide that the story is going to change, we can, and you need to follow that. See, we can't be following after the traditions of just people. Otherwise, I mean, it's just up to the arbitrary tradition of the time. Whoever's in authority can make the new tradition. And when we get to talking about the popes, a lot of that happens. You see, a lot of these doctrines we're going to cover in this series, they didn't just come about all at once. They came about over years and years, hundreds of years. Different popes would come out with a new idea or teaching, and then the Catholic Church would just run with it. And suddenly it's like this whole new thing. And then we have other popes who contradict and say, no, that's not true. And suddenly the opinion of the church changes and tradition changes and doctrine changes. And then when that pope dies, another one comes in and he says, no, the previous pope was right. We're going this way. And it's constantly changing. And you almost get this sense of, well, man, guys, is this true or not? Is this make-believe to you? Are we just kind of going through some motions and feeling good? Or is there something deeper here? Again, I want to go back to what the Bible says. The Bible attests to itself. We know it's God-breathed. We know it. Let's go back to the foundation. We'll see what the Bible says, and we'll get our doctrine from there. If our Bible strictly says or specifically says, hey, I'm going to have a certain church of which I will put my stamp of approval on, and you will be able to know for a fact that that is my church, and that the words I speak through their prophets or popes are my words, and again, I will prove it, well, that would be a whole other thing. We see no such proof. And we have all these different faiths out there that say that they are God's messenger. We have the Jehovah's Witnesses. We have the Mormons. We have all these different groups and Christian Science. You know, they're all trying to speak as if they're speaking from God. How do we know they're speaking of God? Again, we have to go back to, how do we know that they are speaking from God? If we don't know, why do we want to follow their teachings? And I'm going to stop right there. With that, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave a comment, leave a question, and you can also catch up with me on Facebook. And, well, I love you guys. and I'll see you tomorrow.